So our scripture this morning are three sets of couplets, so two verses that go well together and have a powerful message. So first from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. From Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Back in the 90s, there was a band called Extreme, and they had a song, and they were kind of a bit of a one-hit wonder sort of a band, so you might not have heard of them, but you probably heard of the song called More Than Words. Anyone remember More Than Words? If I was a singer, I'd sing it to you. There's a few hands there. Well, one of the little segments of the lyric says this: how easy it would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do to make it real. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, because I'd already know. Of course, the premise of this song is that if your love is real and if you're expressing it in many different ways, you don't really need to say, I love you. And furthermore, those three words would be unnecessary to say because your life already spoke them. The flip side of that is to say that if you say, I love you, but there's no actions that support those words, you render the phrase meaningless. How do you show your love towards someone? Pastor Gary Chapman, wrote a few books, and most of them carry this part of the title that says The Five Love Languages. And then they're specific to the five love languages of teenagers, of spouses, and so on and so on. But the original book was just called The Five Love Languages. And it outlines how people express and receive love in five different ways. There's acts of service, physical touch, receiving gifts, words of affirmation, and quality time. So since God created us and designed the structure by which we express and receive love, I thought these languages would help us as we seek to express our love to the Father. Now keep in mind, since God is spirit and not physical in the way that we are to each other, that much of our expression of love to the Father is directed to the people God loves. It's kind of like if somebody loves your child, you also in turn feel that love. So the first one is acts of service, which is probably the easiest one for us to do towards God. This love language values action. One feels the love when they're served with help, in a helpful way or with acts of kindness. And as we read this morning in Hebrews 13, it says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. But we also know from Ephesians 2:10 that we were created for this purpose. It says in that passage, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us to do long ago. We know that doing good deeds makes God pleased, but have you ever considered that doing those good deeds is a way of expressing your love to the Father? Especially when we serve the Lord with gladness. That means our heart is happy to do it. Psalms 102 says, "Whatever we do, work at it with all your heart, as though you are working for the Lord and not for human masters." It's this motivation of why we do what we do. And if God's in the core of it, we are expressing our love to the Father through those service acts of love. The second love language is physical touch. This love language is about communication through the body. Obviously, we can't hold God's hand, but if we're willing to hold someone else's hand on behalf of God, our act of love is actually towards God. It's like we say, "Because I love you, Father, I will go. I will rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." Imagine hugging someone in their sorrow and literally being for them God's arms wrapped around them. And when you find yourself in that place, you just pray, "Father, let them feel your love." Because we are the hands and feet of Christ, literally. We're the body of Christ. And so God can hug his people through our arms. And when we allow God to direct us in those physical expressions of support and care, we are actually expressing love to the Father. And some of those things could be sitting beside somebody's bedside, holding someone's hand, putting your arm around their shoulder as they weep, just being close to them. We call this the ministry of being present. It's not about what you say. It's the fact that you're there. That presence to somebody in need. And it is so impactful. And it's not impactful because it's you. It's impactful because it's Christ in you. What they feel coming from you is the love of God. And so we become part of the instrument of sharing God's love at the same time as we are expressing our own love to the Father because we were obedient to go there. And as we read, we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. So in whatever way we can do something with our bodies to support and love and help God in his quest to share love with people, the Bible tells us that that is holy and pleasing to God, and it is in fact the truest and most purest way to worship. Being Christ's hands and feet is definitely an act of love toward the Father. The third is receiving gifts. Now, this love language refers to the expression of love when you go out of your way to purchase some small thing for someone that you love. Valentine's Day forces us into this, but sometimes you might do it spontaneously. But the other thing that you can offer is loyalty. This is a gift that we give. To be loyal to someone. Have you ever been in a place surrounded by sports fans? Maybe you're one of them. They get all painted up. They get dressed in their colors. And they show up at the game and express their loyalty to their team. They want the world to know which team they've given themselves over to. Well, how do we do that for God? I mean, we're not assigned team colors. There's no jersey, although that would be really cool. What gift could we possibly give to the Father? to express our loyalty and our love. Well, there is really truly only one thing, and it is the only one thing that God desires, and that is our heart. And with our heart comes our loyalty. The greatest expression of love toward our Father is to give him our heart. Now, what does that actually mean? It means to love God with all that you are, holding back nothing, and being firm and steadfast, that is, loyal in that love, which means loving God even when things aren't going according to your plan. Loving God when trials and troubles come about. That's loyalty. Imagine if we worshiped with the same enthusiasm in good times and bad times. What if we just let that joy out despite circumstances? Now, I think it'd be really cool if we could worship with the same energy we spend on our favorite teams. I've seen someone jump out of his seat with a big woohoo when some team scores. You've probably done it too, at least some of you. What if we worshiped God with that same kind of energy, giving God our hearts and our loyalty in the greatest act of love? The fourth language is words of affirmation. This love language is this verbal expression of appreciation with compliments and praise. And Jesus taught us to love the Father this way. When he taught us to pray and to say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," is an expression of appreciation and reverence and honor. Our worship is this kind of demonstration that we praise and worship God for all he has done, for who he is. Coming to him with grateful hearts, which we also read this morning in Hebrews 12, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Communicating our appreciation to God for all he has done in sending Jesus, in redeeming us, in forgiving us, in giving us eternal life. And also appreciating all the times he has shown up in our own life to guide us, to comfort us, and to simply bless us. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God our Father." That is how we express love, through our words and through our worship. The last one is quality time. And again, this is kind of an easy one. This love language is focused on this undivided, uninterrupted attention with meaningful connection. We all know that in human relationships, we need good quality time together for a relationship to flourish. And the same is true in our relationship with God. We should want to spend time with the one that we love, and God does. God wants to spend time with us. And our time needs to be quality. Not just a quick little devotion that gets us a check mark as we head out the door, but real quality time, where we're honest and open, and where we listen. That real prayer time, where we are also fed. This will make your love grow more, which is sort of a side benefit, but it's also expressing your love for the Father. We have the gift that God is always near us. And so we have so much time that we can connect meaningfully with God every day. We can pray while we're in the shower. We can pray while we're driving to appointments or to work. We can pray on our breaks. We pray all the time. And so whenever there's a break in that communication, it's our fault, not God's. God has made himself fully available. We don't have to log in during God's office hours. So God is never the problem when it comes to making time for God. And quality time benefits us in great ways. At the same time, it's expressing our love to the Father. We want to be in time with him. We want to spend and be in his presence, spending devoted time. And also spontaneous time throughout the day. I mean, while you're making your coffee, you could be singing praise songs in your head. It's that easy to connect. And giving God quality time and lots of time is definitely a wonderful expression of love to our Father. At the end of the day, is our expression of love to our Father more than words? Because we should be so madly in love with God that our life is a constant expression of our love for him. Our overwhelming love for our Father should make the crazed fans of the Beatlemania era look like a library club. Have you ever been that excited? I hope so. I hope that's what's happening inside of you and you're just containing it well. But I hope your spirits are afire. And that every day you just realize how incredibly privileged you are to be known by your Creator and loved by him, and that the love in you just swells up that you can hardly even contain it. Because that's what it means when your cup overflows. So consider those five love languages that God has created in us and use them to express your love to the Father, who loves you more than words can say. Go into the world with no debt but love, for love will not harm and love will do no wrong. Go into the world with no law but to love, and you will keep God's commandments of love and honor. Go into the world with no prayer but love, and God will be with you. Christ will be in you, and the Spirit will be around you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.